Alt NPR.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from AT&T, the passion to invent, the drive to deliver. The new AT&T, your world delivered.
The following is an installment of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Fall is like a crazy time in D.C. You're just back from the August recess. You got the full legislative docket, and then at night, it's crazy party time every night. And there are a lot of parties because my boss is on the Select Committee on Homeland Security. So all these defense contractors and Homeland Security people all want a piece of the action, and he's the guy to talk to. Mostly we were going to these things as a full staff. But there was this one party that was being thrown by these defense contractors that make stuff for the Missile Defense Shield. And they had it out on this yacht. And the congressman just pulled me aside and said, hey, I just want you to come along with me on this. I thought that was kind of weird because I'm the junior member of the staff. I'm a low man on the totem pole. But, you know, come on, party on a yacht. You know, I'm there. So we get on at the mouth of the Potomac there. The tidal basin, and there's drinking, there's dancing, we have a lobster dinner. Just after dark, they have the huge fireworks display. You know, everybody's standing out on the deck cheering. We're all drinking, you know, it's just a total blast. So I'm sipping a beer, kind of looking out the front of the boat, and there's this huge boat in front of us. You know, it looks like a battleship. But it's real nice. It's like a yacht, and I see that there's like there's like topless chicks dancing on the deck, you know. And I'm like, wow, I've just been to this, you know, mind blowing party, and I'm ready to kind of kick back, cruise back to D.C. And now we're pulling up to the real party. So we go and we climb up this ladder, and I can barely describe it. I mean, we come over the boat, and there's just, like, all of these chicks with little thong bikinis on, and some of them aren't even wearing the tops, and everybody's dancing, and they come out with, you know, trays of champagne, caviar, then they come out with trays of these huge joints. You know, everybody, like, grabs a joint, they're smoking pot, and, you know, and I don't smoke that much pot, but I picked up this joint, and this was like this super high-grade, mind-blowing pot, you know, like I had one drag of it, and I'm spinning, you know, and
Wait a minute, did your boss smoke too?
Well, for the record, I didn't actually see him inhale, but there was so many people on this boat. I mean, I kind of started wandering around. There's kind of naked chicks everywhere and lights flashing. And I kind of lost track of my wandering
around. Whose boat is this?
I'm getting to that. So I'm wandering around this boat, you know, and I can tell I'm going to puke. And I'm trying to find a place but, you know, there's kind of people everywhere. And I can see that there's, like, these stairs. I kind of go downstairs, and I'm hoping, you know, maybe there's a bathroom down there. So I kind of sneak by everybody, and I go downstairs, and it's dark, and I can't find the light switch, and I'm feeling around, and I figure I got to find a bathroom at some point. I find this door, and I open it up, and it's like this huge sauna. It's like a jacuzzi in the middle, and it's just kind of steam everywhere. And Tan reaches out and grabs my arm and kind of pulls me inside. And I swear to God, man, it's like a scene right out of the freaking Godfather, okay? There's just, like, these old guys, they all have, like, gigantic cigars and tumblers, I guess, of cognac or something, and they're sitting around in this sauna with, like, and each one of them is basically flanked on both sides by hot young women. And then one real big guy looks up and he goes, hey, what do you think of my boat? And I said, this is your boat? And he says, yeah, what do you think of it? You like it? You like my boat? What do you think of my boat? And I said, well, it's amazing. Yeah, I thought you'd like it. You know, he's laughing. He kind of looks back at these girls. Hey, girl, I think he likes the boat. What do you think? And he's like, hee-hee, you know, giggling. And it was just beyond compare. And you know, this one guy that still kind of had a hold of my elbow, and I turned to him, and the guy looks at me and goes, that's R.J. Reynolds. And I'm like, you know, R.J. Reynolds, the R.J. Reynolds tobacco company? He's like, that's right. And then the guy next to me leans over, he says, I'm Philip Morris, but you can call me Altria. And then he kind of just, he doesn't really laugh out loud, he just kind of giggles to himself, he slaps me on the back. He goes, that's the Marlboro man over there. He points to somebody across in the steam, I can't really see. And I said, really? We're all tobacco men here, and we're celebrating. So I said, well, what do you celebrate? Freedom, the free market. To the free market! He raises a glass, and everybody's like, oh, free market, run! Drinking their cognac, and I said, well, but isn't this kind of a tough time for you guys? I mean, they got all those tobacco settlements, and you know, you can't smoke in D.C. anymore. It just went into effect in Boston. The whole state of California can't smoke inside. I mean, it's going to be the whole country. You know, it's not the best thing that ever happened to us. Best thing that ever happened to us. Want to know why? Yeah, you know, explain it to me because it doesn't sound good to me. I'll tell you. You know all these people that are always trying to clamor for getting pot legalized? What do they say? The first thing they say is, you legalize pot, and then the government can regulate it, the government can tax it. If they make marijuana the new tobacco, what we want to do is make tobacco the new weed, and everybody's, the new weed, and they clink glasses, and they're guzzling their cognac, they're making out, they're puffing their cigars, you know, it's mayhem, and I kind of turn back to him, because I still don't understand him, but he's already just like, you know, got his hand down his chick's panties, and making out with her, and it, you know, he's pretty much done with me, and at this point, I'm afraid I'm going to puke, so I kind of take this moment where he's with the chicken. I just bolt out of there. I run upstairs. I get to the railing and I just puke my guts out.
Over the side of the boat.
Yeah, I made it over the side of the boat, luckily. So I'm like hanging on the rail, just puking. And then I look up and there's this guy down there in his powerboat. And he looks up at me and he's kind of laughing. And he goes, you look like you need another drink! And I'm like, oh, God, no. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm about to just turn and run again. But he throws up this, like, life preserver with a rope on it, right? Whew, whips it up, and I kind of duck. And it kind of wraps around the railing. He's like, come on down, pirate! I don't know. It's weird. You know, I'm like, I'm definitely just freaked out. But at the same time, I just kind of want to keep going. So I start to reach over to go down the boat. He goes, wait a minute. I turn up and he goes, there's two chicks there. There's two chicks next to you. And I kind of look and about 15 feet down. And they're kind of looking at me. They're not naked, but they kind of got these like slinky dresses on, you know. They look definitely really sexy. And I said, you know, this guy wants to talk to you. And they kind of look over the side of the boat. He goes, hey, get your asses down here. And then, like, you know this guy? I'm like, well, I'm kind of. He's like, well, where are you going? And he goes, we're going for a ride! Come on! So, you know, they're like, oh, do you want to go? Yeah. Oh, sure, why not? Let's go. So the girls and I, we go over to the rope. We just kind of just shimmy down the rope, like, straight into the boat. So the three of us pile on the boat, and the guy, like, steps up. He just pulls out this huge Bowie knife and just cuts the rope. Doesn't even untie it. And he looks at me and he goes, what do you do? And I said, I work for congressman. He goes, I'm CIA, buddy. And he just punches it. Wow, the boat just takes off, and we're just flying across the bay. And we're kind of hanging on, and wind's blowing really, really strong, you know. And he kind of leans over to me, and he goes, which one do you want? And I said, I looked over at the girls, and I was like, oh, the redhead. And he looks back at me and says, fine! I'll take the other one! And so he's gunning it further, and I'm noticing up in the distance, closing fast are these two gigantic military transport ships. And we're going right at them. You know, I work on port security and stuff like that, and I know, you know, you can't get within a half a mile of these boats, or they're, you know, they'll take you out. And I said, you know, I hit him on the shoulder. I said, "What? You know, watch out for those boats. Those are military transport boats. If we get any closer, they're gonna open fire on us." And he powers the engine bit, and I'm like, "Oh God, you know, thank God." And he turns around and he looks at me and he says, he looks over at the girls and they look kind of scared. And he looks back at me and says, "Well, okay, you get the redhead, but we gotta switch later." And then he starts laughing, he turns around, just guns it again. This is like an SS Cole run, right? We're going, right, I'm not kidding, we're going broadside right at this goddamn huge military boat, and I'm like, I'm either gonna get shot or we're gonna fucking explode. You know? I'm done. I swear to God, man, we got within 10 feet of this thing, and he just cranks the wheel. We just whip a 90-degree turn. We go right down the hull of the boat. I mean, our boat actually kind of skips off. No shit. It just skipped right off the hull of this other boat. And we go tear ass and, you know, away from this boat back towards the boats we started out on. And we're all terrified.
But wait a minute. Why didn't they shoot at you?
I don't know. I just don't have any idea. It didn't seem like there was anybody even on the thing.
So
the lights were on, but I didn't see one person.
So if you were Al-Qaeda, then you would have blown the boat up to bits.
Oh,
it would have been that easy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. So anyway, he's still just gunning the boat. We just fly back over to where those initial boats were, and he pulls back on the throttle, and we ease up to one of the boats, and we kind of bump into it, and he turns around, he throws his arm around me, he throws his other arm basically around both of the other girls. He's like, "I think we ought to have ourselves a little orgy." I look at these girls, and they're totally terrified, and I think they're kind of looking at me to, you know, get us out of this. I say, I'm like, "Hey, yeah, you know, maybe in a little bit. Let's go up to the party." And I'm kind of hanging on to him, and I'm like, "Hey, you know, let's go up and have a few drinks and, you know, whatever." And so that kind of allowed the girls to kind of go behind me, and they kind of went up this ladder. And I kind of go over to the ladder. I turn around, I'm like, "Come on." And he just, the guy just, like, falls over. He's like, I think he was, like, completely trashed the whole time. Just wasted. He just tipped right over. Into the boat, you know, and I'm like, I can grab that ladder and got the fuck out of there. So at this point, I was so scared that I'm basically sober at this point. And I start looking around the boat again, and I run into the congressman. And it's like, "You know why I brought you along on this?" And I kind of said, "Well, you know, I'd actually been wondering about that. You know, I'm kind of a junior member. I was a little surprised." "Well, you know why? I can tell you're a party guy." I can tell I'm a party guy. He kind of nudges me on, you know, punches me on the shoulder, and hands me a drink. I knocked it back. I don't know. That's really all I remember. I guess we got home somehow. Someone must have carried me into my house, and I woke up on my couch in my tux the next day.
Extremely hungover.
Obviously.
when the hurricane came through, the whole city shut down for 2 days. So I'm at home, you know, making sure that the house doesn't wash away, and I'm like, you know, what am I going to do? This is ridiculous. So I just went to the bar. I walk in the bar, and that guy that I had met, the powerboat, the CIA guy, whoever the hell this guy is, he's sitting there by himself at the bar. So I walk up to him. Hey, man, how's it going? And I can tell right away that this guy doesn't recognize me. But I just sit down and I just tell him the whole story about what happened. And then when I get to the part where, you know, I climb out of the boat and look back and he's fallen over, he just cracks up. He thinks that's really funny. So I guess I don't think he remembered it, but he just decided to trust me and believe that the story was true. So we buy a couple more beers and we decide that the obvious course of action is just we're going to sit here and drink beers and weather out this hurricane in this bar. So after about 5 or 6 beers, this guy just looks at me. He says, hey man, you want to know what's in the classified section of the 9/11 report? Yeah. So he tells me essentially this totally insane story. According to this guy, these planes took off. They were hijacked by the Al-Qaeda hijackers, which were in turn hijacked by this other group, and they took over the planes and substituted them with other planes that they had ready for act of mass destruction. This group wanted to basically make sure they did the job right. The first attack was carried out by a remote-controlled military aircraft. The plane flew in right as it was about to impact the World Trade Center, shot missiles into the building, and then as it entered the building, it detonated itself.
But no one saw missiles being fired into the building. I mean, no one saw that.
Almost no one saw that. Have you heard of the fireman's video?
No.
Well, there happens to be about 2 seconds of footage of this. Not very clear, but right before that plane comes in, you see a flash of light from underneath the wing of the aircraft. Besides that, the aircraft is much too small. It's much smaller than a 757. You can see it on the tape. You can't see the aircraft very clearly, but you can tell that it's not a 757.
So wait a minute. Have you like gone on the internet and looked for this?
Yeah. Yeah, and I found it and I looked at the footage and I went out and there's a video compilation called 9/11 on DVD and I went out and got that too. And I've been sitting in front of my goddamn TV running this 2 seconds of footage back and forth, you know, for the last week and a half, looking at this thing, and I swear to God, I think it looks like that's what happened. It looks like it fired a missile. Now you look at the second plane that hit the tower. Now all the cameras. Now the world's watching the North Tower burning, wondering what the hell's going on. So now we got a bunch of film crews and everything else there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the next plane that comes in, that looks a hell of a lot like a 757. They couldn't use the same type of aircraft, that fighter aircraft, they could have used that for the second one. Or it would have been obvious, right?
Uh-huh.
That it's not the plane. But when you look at that thing, there's one camera angle which was sort of from the back, and you can see as this plane banks in to hit the World Trade Center, the South Tower, that there is some kind of huge tube on the side of it.
And you looked this up on the internet as well?
Yeah. I looked it up on the internet, and it's also on that DVD. Now, that one, right as that one gets to the point of impact, a huge burst of flame shoots out of the front of that tube. And then that plane goes in, and then you have this huge fireball. Now, that fireball was massive. I mean, unbelievable. And there's, you know, they test crash these aircraft. And we know basically what kind of explosion it makes. And this was phenomenal. So So that aircraft, I think, could have been a modified 757, such that basically all the room where the cargo is underneath and all the place where the people normally sit was just like one giant fuel tank, right? And that one just went in, that tube shot some flame into the building to get the fire started, and then when the plane came in and disintegrated, it was just a giant
So wait a minute. Was this one remote control as well?
Yes.
So they were both remote. There were no suicide bombings.
No.
So what happened to all the people on the planes?
Okay, this group landed all of the planes in some secret airfield, probably somewhere in the Pennsylvania countryside. They took all the people off the planes, all the three planes that were substituted, and put them all on the fourth plane. All right? And then they took that plane, they went ahead and took that plane back up in the air. And then when they're in the air, they just shot it down. Now, the brilliant part is that plane lands in the middle of the countryside somewhere out in Philadelphia, but there's a plane there. There's evidence. And it's corroborated by the people that got fooled and they got put on these planes and think that's part of the hijacking plan. So they're making phone calls. So we know the people were on the damn thing before it crashed. Right? We know this guy tried to make a rush for the door, get a hold of the hijackers, and boom, the plane goes down. That plane was designed to crash in the field, so we'd all have at least some little shred of evidence to say, yep, look, a big plane has crashed.
So this guy basically told you this whole story, and now you believe this?
Well, of course I didn't believe it at first, but, you know, now I've poked around on the internet, I got some videos, and, you know, I'm not so sure.
But, you know, who were these hijackers that hijacked the hijacker? I mean, like, who is this group?
Well, according to this guy, it's this collection of international, like, super spooks. It's guys from the CIA, MI6, and the Mossad.
And he has firsthand knowledge of this, all this, how?
Well, he told me he works with them.
Who, the group?
Yeah.
So he's a member of this illustrious secret group.
That's what he told me, yeah. Yeah, at the time I was just taking it as this, you know, kind of wacky story. You know, of course the guy's a member of the group. He even handed me his card. I looked at it and said, International Solutions, Joey D. So, you know, kind of took the card, put it in my pocket, kind of forgot about it, had a few more drinks, and, you know, I looked over, and old Joey D looked like he did the other night. He started to look like he was getting a little crazy, a little drunk, and, you know, I decided not tonight, man. There's a hurricane going on. I better get out of here. So I put on the coat, and I slapped old Joey D on the back and told him, good talking to you. I'll see you around. And, you know, I wandered out into the hurricane and made my way home.
You've been listening to Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
Alt, alt, alt. Alt, alt, and